Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up tomorrow for our actual Thanksgiving Day show, Melanie Rahak, author of Eating for Beginners, completes her November series with us with tips from her experience in a restaurant kitchen for your Thanksgiving Day prep. And don't forget, this is the last day to suggest, and you can actually start listening right now, to music for the Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving Kitchen mixtape. If you want to suggest some music that you like to listen to while you cook, we can still add it to the mix. But you can also go and listen or download the mixtape for your Thanksgiving Day cooking listening pleasure. Last call for music track suggestions for the Brian Lehrer listeners' Thanksgiving Kitchen mixtape. And you can start listening to and downloading the mixtape now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And by this time tomorrow, Thanksgiving dinner preparations will be well underway. A big part of the holiday is the tradition of it all. The turkey goes into the oven just as the Kermit balloon travels down Columbus Avenue. All the cousins sit at the kids' table well into their 20s. And you can depend on Grandma to nod off before dessert if Grandma is old enough. The holiday might look the same every year for some, but that's not to say that a lot of families aren't creating new traditions this year. It may be the passing of the cooking torch onto a younger generation, or maybe a new location for the gathering, or some families may be throwing all tradition caution to the wind and creating a whole new Thanksgiving dinner experience. Listeners, we want to hear about your changing Thanksgiving traditions. Will there be any firsts in your family tomorrow? Are you having the whole family over to your house this year and taking your first stab at cooking a holiday meal for 20? What does it feel like to take the cooking reins from the older generation? Are you anticipating sweat and tears, or did years of watching your mom in the kitchen prepare you for this moment? Give us a call and tell us about your changing Thanksgiving traditions. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And even if Thanksgiving won't radically change tomorrow for you, but you remember the year when you did take over from your parents, tell us about that moment of change in your family. Did you overcook the turkey and forget the cranberries? Did your dad actually yell at you for bungling what he used to get right? Or was there a smooth transition from one generation to the next? With us now to talk about the passing down of Thanksgiving cooking and the creation of brand new traditions, as your calls are coming in, is Hannah Rosen, editor of Slate's XX. Hi, Hannah. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And by the way, we're getting ready to launch, as you know, the 2010 Brian Lehrer Show guest gift guide. And we're going to ask some guests over the coming month what they like to give at holiday time. We will gather all the intel online so folks can check it out and give the gifts that the guests give and suggest if they hear any good ones. And we thought we would start with you because it's not just Christmas, still a month away. Hanukkah starts next Wednesday. It's so early this year, Hannah. It's the 1st of December.
It's incredibly early, and I have a pile of gifts sitting down in my living room because I suddenly noticed, it's Hanukkah. I've got to get my act together. The gift that I'm most excited about is cooking classes, and since we have cooking on the mind, which is Thanksgiving, so I bought for my daughter cake decorating classes. They're these two-hour classes where you go and they teach you these sort of pretty fussy things, even if you like to bake and you might like to make things really delicious. There are things that it's hard to master, like how to use the particular tools and how to make these florets and, you know, how to make it from dripping. I mean, we've had so many disasters on the decorating front. So we are going to take a couple of hour cooking class together, which I am extremely excited about.
That is really great. I love the idea of giving experiences as gifts rather
right,
than
exactly,
just
exactly.
physical things. Felicia
right, exactly.
in Boonton Township, New Jersey. Felicia, you're on WNYC with a generational change story.
Yeah. Hi, Brian. A number of years back, my father passed away in January. And the following Thanksgiving, my mom insisted that we all gather but go to their country club. And it was just so depressing and just lonely and sad and isolating. So
yeah, the whole idea of going out. So it was going out to eat, in effect, on Thanksgiving, right?
It was horrible. It was just not. It wasn't fun. The children had to sit at the table. It just was awful.
Mm-hmm. So
the next year, I decided to pony up and take the holiday into my own hands and transform it. And every year since, it's grown, and we just call it the Island of Misfit Toys. And we just invite absolutely everybody we possibly can, including my mother, and anybody who doesn't have a place to go. Mm. And it just becomes a raucous, fun holiday. And everybody brings things. I just do a couple of things. All that, the worst part of it is cleaning up.
It's always the worst part of it. Felicia, that's a great story. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sad, but then with redemption. And Hannah, you have a story about how you took over the Thanksgiving rituals in your family, right?
Exactly. My parents were immigrants. We came over from Israel. There was a similar story in The New Yorker about a Korean family by novelist Cheng Rae-Lee. I think it's probably a common immigrant story. My parents had no idea what Thanksgiving was. They didn't understand why you would cook a turkey. It seemed disgusting to them, you know, like cooking a dog or a horse. It just seemed like some giant beast you're supposed to shove in the oven. So my mother would just cook a sort of biggish chicken, and we didn't really know what to do with ourselves because in Jewish holidays, which we're quite used to, there are specific rituals. You say certain prayers, you eat the challah, you drink the wine, and you talk about certain things, but we just had no idea what to do. And so I took it upon myself not to do the cooking because I was much too young for that, but to teach my immigrant parents what on earth Thanksgiving was about. So I remember one year when I just sat there with my little school textbooks and started reading about the pilgrims and what we then call the Indians. We don't call them the Indians anymore. And, you know, teaching my parents how to pronounce all the Thanksgiving words and everything, and it was very cute,
it's sort of coming,
like the Moses Passover story.
Or if you're coming from Israel, it's Sukkot, but without the house.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, you have a nation, you have people suffering, you have kind of a hero. I mean, it works.
And it's the harvest festival, right? Every culture has their harvest festival. That's what Sukkot is in Judaism, and Thanksgiving is for Americana. Colette in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Colette.
Fine, thank you.
Go ahead.
It's the first time, I mean, for 50 years we lived in a big house in Manhattan, and we housed Thanksgiving every year for our four children, their spouse, their children, and then my husband died. And what happened is that now it's my son who's taking over and who is receiving all the family. I do the shopping. I help in the kitchen. But it's not the same thing.
Yes. Is it hard for you to turn it over to the next generation?
A little bit, as I'm a good cook, but my son is also a good cook. And
No backseat cooking now.
I beg your pardon?
No backseat cooking.
No. And it is very interesting to see how the tradition is going to continue and how it is one child out of four who took over.
Because one more has the propensity to do it, right?
Right, right.
And I'm sure it's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet because you don't, it's the first year. I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry for your loss. But I'm glad you have a family that's continuing to gather, and that your son is doing it, and you'll be there.
Colette, thank you. A great family, and I wish everybody to have as good a family, and I wish them all a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Colette.
To you.
And to you. And Hannah Rosen from Slate, some of the writers on your XX blog shared how their grandmothers or mothers just won't relinquish the position as Thanksgiving chef.
I love that. That was a theme that emerged very strongly in these things, is how the mothers, no matter how old they are, no matter how unwilling they are to actually cook or how little pleasure it causes them, just do not want to let go of this tradition. And this came through with some of our younger writers, and even our older writers in their 50s just said, you know, my mother will be in the grave before she gives this up. She will never give this up, and it's too late for me to learn at this point because I'm in my 50s. So if she dies, forget it. I'm cooked. You know?
It's never too late
to
learn to cook a turkey.
What if you don't like to cook? I mean, it is kind of an undertaking.
Yeah.
You know, you just have fears of this big dry bird emerging from the oven. But anyway, it was kind of an interesting thing and very poignant. And I mean, particularly for the younger people who who were thinking about the passing of the generations and how fun it was when they were kids, and now they're sort of adults, but not exactly adults. And so one of our writers was remembering a prank that she used to do in Thanksgiving on her mom, and now it's like it feels like it's time for them to grow up a little bit, and so they're, you know, they're thinking about the day, you know, when they want, when they might at least contribute a vegetable or a side or something. Mm. It's funny with Thanksgiving; it does bring up all these issues in a way that's quite different than Christmas or Hanukkah or other sort of more commercial holidays do. I think partly because food is very resonant for people with emotions and memories, mm-hmm. and food is so central on this holiday, and there aren't any distractions like gifts and things you have to buy and a list of presents or anything like that.
Bill in Manhattan. Bill, you're taking it for the first time this year?
How you doing, Brian? Yeah, I'm. My brother used to hold Thanksgiving. He's a little bit older than I, and for the years now. And my wife and I recently moved from a small apartment in Stuytown over here to the Lower East Side, so we're having the whole family over tomorrow, and I'm doing a lot of prepping, and it's going to be a great dinner. I was telling, I have a little bit of experience. I'm a stay-at-home dad, so I do a lot of cooking anyway, and I'm a former firefighter here in the city, and those guys know how to eat.
I guess so. So do you have a specialty?
Pretty much everything. I mean, I'm good. You know, I make roux. I do braising. I do you name it. I can handle it. So I'm confident I'm going to pull it off, and I think the family's going to have a great time.
And bring some over to the local station house because some of your brothers got to work.
Exactly, unfortunately. But I give kudos to them working on the holidays and a nod to them. They're great folks.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving, Bill. Hannah, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, that caller's a rare breed. I was just thinking we should have a whole show of men who cook the entire Thanksgiving dinner. That's incredibly impressive, and I bet that's a growing category. But I don't think I've quite come across a guy who cooks the whole thing. That's pretty awesome.
Usually they get rolled out with a knife at the end, right?
Exactly. I mean, my husband, you know, he's a great cook, and he makes the pie and makes this and that, but not the whole thing. That's awesome.
And he was a guy taking it over from another guy, no less, his brother.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that's,
you know,
really, really impressive.
It's like the stay-at-home dads. There are only 7 of them in America, but they get a lot of publicity.
They get a lot of publicity. Exactly, exactly. And if they're, you know, juggling the children while cooking the turkey, while making the pies, that's, you know, even more kudos to them.
Sam in Caldwell, you're on WNYC. We're almost out of time. Sam, you're going to be our last story.
All right. My mom is 1 of 9, and for as long as I can remember, we've had Thanksgiving at her oldest brother, my Uncle John's house, and he's moving to Sweden or something. So we are having it at my house this year, and my mom cooks, but not a lot. When we do big volume, she you know, uses the children's slave labor. So me and my sister are going to do most of the cooking, but just watching her run around and, like, planning, and it's great. She's so stressed out. We know it's going to be fun. We know it's going to be fine, and it's going to be our new Thanksgiving tradition, but it's also going to make a great story for years to come, telling about how my mom ran herself ragged over this Thanksgiving dinner.
Sam, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Hannah Rosen, editor of Slate's XX blog, thank you for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone in New York.
And remember, listeners, we've got a whole bunch of Thanksgiving stuff to do on our website. Check out our It's a Free Country Thanksgiving Politicians Cookbook. Believe it or not, we've collected Thanksgiving recipes from local politicians. We have Ed Koch's Guiltless Vegetarian Chili. We have the yummy but not so healthy looking Italian sausage stuffing from the new Staten Island congressman and former health food store owner Michael Grimm. And we have Jimmy McMillan from the Rent is Too Damn High Party, his 5-course recommendation for an affordable middle class dinner. You don't want to find yourself yelling the turkey is too damn dry. So find all these recipes and more at the It's a Free Country .org Thanksgiving cookbook. Remember also to videotape your out-of-town relatives and ask them our rut or recovery question for the economies in their town. You can find instructions for that on itsafreecountry.org. And we have the Brian Lehrer Show Thanksgiving mixtape if you want to download the music suggested by your fellow listeners to cook to tomorrow. Just go to our webpage to listen to that. Have a great holiday. We have Melanie Rahak tomorrow with her Thanksgiving restaurant kitchen tips for your kitchen. Some of our callers today could use it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.